Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This episode, I am saying an individual, energetically individual and collective, happy new year to you all. At the time of recording, this is the 3rd of January 2024, wishing each and every single one of you that 2024 is your greatest year yet. And I really say that in like a pattern shift of what regularly I'm seeing happens. Definitely was happening in my own life, what was happening or was not happening. What was happening is was me living without questioning my life. And it's like my life was hurtling through time, space, reality, and I was racking up a massive amount of regrets. I'm talking about the 5 regrets of the dying. I have done another episode of this in the past, but I just feel the potency of it as a New Year reflective process. I'm not really going with the sort of setting the plans, New Year's resolutions and that. A lot of that is like really sort of bullshit. Maybe some life resolutions, like where you will resolve to do it, will come from this. But really focusing on the regrets of the dying puts our lives into perspective. A few years ago, I know when the whole thing came out about that, what was just a novel virus that came out a few years ago that got so dramatically exaggerated. I'm just sharing my perspective. I have a passionate belief in Hippocrates, the forces within are the true healers of disease. So I, having worked within the biomedical system for so many years as a physiotherapist and seeing the research and seeing how the whole system is set up, you can get my perspective on it unapologetically. I do have that bias on the whole topic. But when the exaggerated sort of dramatic reports of that novel virus were coming out the first few days, me having had a background of asthma and, you know, sort of, if I get a chest infection, it can, it definitely at the time could really affect me. There was an initial wave of concern coming over me, and my greatest concern was, I was like, oh my God, like it really brought to me this sense of my own morality, not morality, mortality. And this question came up, it's like, wow, what if you died now, Mark? And I remember having this distinctly uneasy feeling inside of myself of you'd be like to the brim with regret. It's like I hadn't started living. There was some parts of me and some, you know, stuff I was reading and certain reflections. It was like, yeah, I was beginning to unveil there's way more authentic truth to come through me. And it was like, but I was just about, like I was just really getting to really recognize these unlived, unexpressed parts of myself. And this feeling was so catastrophically suffocating to contemplate. It's like, wow, if my life was to end then, I was brimful with regret. Since then, since that reflections, you know, the I've spoken to it here, the podcast in many senses is my outwardly expression of my authentic truth, my marriage transformation, my inner world, my parenting, etc., etc. Ton done, like a lifetime more to do. I'm not going to pretend that, hey, if the Grim Reaper came calling tonight, would I be without regret? No, I still would have unexpressed potentiality in myself, but I'm definitely way more at peace with myself going, well, I am living my 10 out of 10 version, and that expands and expands, and I reconfigure it and reiterate like what that means in the world. But I'm definitely more grounded within myself. Why I'm bringing this is, you know, guys that I end up working on one-on-one and in Heroic Husbands men's circles and other men's circles over the last 4 or 4.5 years, individually and collectively en masse, there is so much unspoken regret lingering in the background psyche and the nervous system in the minds and hearts of men around the planet. I've spoken before about the profoundly sick society that gauges us, that conditions us from an early age, that, you know, the heroic masculine expression is be a superstar in the sports field, be a superstar being productive, creating profits at work, be it for your company, your business, or somebody else's company, produce, create profits. That's it. And buy cool shit. Provide for your family. Profits, productivity, and provide. By and large, that's it. Like, it's such a catastrophically limiting conditioning that we have come through that it's only inevitable that a massive amount of regrets linger in the background when you don't completely break out of that mold of conditioning which suits the economic juggernaut of modern society. So in these reflections, you know, to end 2024 with no regrets, and I really, really desire that. I want that for you guys. My intention here is to bring you on as many of these episodes are, hopefully an uncomfortable journey. You know, our persona, the mask that we put on ourselves psychologically when we were younger, that personality that we can so aggressively defend and go, I know who I am, you know, like, don't tell me who I'm not. I've got my shit together. That doesn't want discomfort. That doesn't want any sort of x-ray capacity to see the bullshit for what it is, that it's living an inauthentic life. Our persona was built and created to fit in, to fit a mold and a role that would tick the boxes and meet our emotional attachment needs. But meeting emotional attachment needs like that, it's using the strategies of our 5, 6, 7-year-old selves to guide our entire lives and hope that we can die without regret. It's total fucking bullshit. It's not going to work. So lean in, my friends, lean in. I myself love this topic. I'm not doing this episode for you guys. This is for me to reiterate, to put the magnifying glass of where I am at with this. It's like continually, this is heart warriorship. You continually put the magnifying glass of consciousness on your lived existence so you can bring your fullest embodied love to life. So this episode is off the book, based off the inspiration from the book by Bronnie Ware, who's an Australian nurse who spent several years working in palliative care. And she put her observations in a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. I'm going to share the top 5 regrets, clearly from the book, and a little portion of quoted extract from what Bronnie has written in the book, and then just commentary what that means for us as heroic husbands. The first major regret after dying. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. In her extract, this was the most common regret of all. Dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honoured even a half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had made or not made. Health brings a freedom very few realise until they no longer have it. Now, if you reflect upon this, you know, it's like, what dreams have you had in your past? You know, nearly every guy, well, it's one of the most common things that guys will say when they're speaking with me one-on-one, you know, after a while of being in my presence in men's circles, heroic husbands, men's circles, or one-on-one coaching, that they might use different words, but by and large, it's sort of coming from, Mark, it's not that you're telling me something new. Like, what you embody, what you represent, what your message is about is letting me acknowledge what I've always known is true inside of myself. nearly every single guy, like, and so it has happened, it has been reflected back to me so often now that I'm like, wow, well, it's like almost like it must be true for the vast majority of guys, is so many guys reflect back to me. It's like there's some, they have always had some sense of their own, call it greatness, their own uniqueness. I'd speak to their godliness, to some sense of perfection inside of themselves that they don't have any need to prove themselves to anybody. But they just didn't know how to express that, how to own that part of them, how to line their lives up with that, like to have the courage to line your entire life up with your radically embodied truth, which is very often going to be quite, well, literally radically different from the persona base that you brought into marriage, that you met your queen with, that you created your work with, that you've, you know, led your life with. You've planted millions of seeds of thinking, talking, and taking action from your persona. So it can be quite a revelatory journey, quite a liberating journey, but a fearful journey to recognize and remember and reconnect with your authentic truth and go, wow, you know, I'm not living the life I want to live. I never intended to, you know, be working 25 years in corporate and have all this stress and, you know, be working and traveling and doing all this shit. And like, I never intended to have my family live like this, and I never intended to have this big massive house. Why the fuck do I have this massive house, etc., etc., etc.? It's like, I never intended. I wanted to live a simple life. I wanted to grow veg. I wanted to be in nature more often. I wanted to travel. You know, I wanted to play music. I love music when I was growing up. But, you know, my mom and dad said, oh, you know, you never make money at music or art or, you know, like, you know, a man doesn't do horticulture, doesn't grow or tend to flowers. It's like, well, whatever that is, we've been fucking bombarded by this profoundly sick society, by, you know, this idea of what a man is meant to be. And these people on their deathbed, one of the most common regrets is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Now, this is everything to do with becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, because when your psyche is living with this angst in the background that it's only sedated and bandaged over with, you know, busyness, keep busy, busy, busy. Well, you know, it's not my authentic self, but like, I've no time to slow down to figure it all out. You know, I've got bills to pay, I've got, you know, jobs and responsibilities, a man has to be, and you get, I was so serious myself. Touch base with yourself, guys. Has your queen ever given you like feedback? Man, you're just so serious. Like, there's no playfulness anymore. One of the most, I know Eckhart Tolle writes about that in his book. What's the name of it? I've read it so many times. It's on my shelf somewhere. Oh, it's not coming to me. The Power of Now. A New Earth, excuse me, is my favourite version of Eckhart Tolle's books. Yeah, he speaks about the role that adults take on, and I think he actually specifies men take on. It's just being serious. Touch base with yourself. Do you ever find that you're just serious? Like, it's, everything is serious. It's black and white serious. You know, you got to be serious in life, where you're not laughing as much as you used to. You're not playful. You're not having fun. You're not having adventures. There's no variety. Same shit, different day. And yeah, you pretend it's like serious, and you give in like a lot of work, meaning to work, etc., etc., etc. And you know, it's just heavy. Where's the fun, fucking fluffy, joyful part of life? So my invitation, name my masculine challenge to you. You know, I it's one thing to reflect upon these, but as I want to give you some bit of inspiration to a potential road path out of this. You know, don't fucking live, you know, don't listen in and go, yeah, Jesus, that's me, man, you know, yeah, I'm living without regret, and then fucking do nothing about it. That's actually one of the number one link between all of these regrets, where these people on their deathbed regretted what they did not do. They weren't reporting, oh, You know, the angst of I did or I said this thing when I was 27 and I just never have got over it. Oh, that time when I did this thing. They weren't regretting. Their biggest regrets were not stuff that they had done. It's what they had not done. That's just like, that's the entire pattern. So don't listen to this, please. Like, for the love of yourself, for the love of God inside of yourself, your own godliness, your own birthright to fucking live a beautiful, fulfilling life. Don't make the same mistake. I'm like, take action on it. What I'm challenging you to look at and consider is find what, 30 to 60 minutes per day. Get your ass out of bed earlier. Line yourself up, you know, take action. If you get up earlier or late at night, I like early morning. There's more in my control. Just get up earlier, create a window of time for myself. But I invite you to look at that and to deeply consider doing it. To dedicate, I'm going to say 60 minutes per day to being you, to rediscovering who you are, to remembering who the fuck you are, to practicing in a way who your authentic self is. Because in many senses, we have lost connection with it. It's like we have, you can look back to for inspirations, journal about your past, your childhood, is like what you love to do. Beyond, a lot of times we end up being defined by the job we do, but so many men that I speak with, and I know myself included, it's like we unwittingly end up doing what our belief system, and our belief system is very much founded on what society fucking told us was the right way to believe. There's right and there's wrong, but a lot of it comes from what we end up doing and dedicating most of our adult lives to is stuff that we were told is acceptable by society. You know, what we dedicate our work lives to is like, well, that made sense money wise. And we negate what doesn't make sense money wise. You know, the music, the art, the being in nature, the playfulness, the sitting around, the just maybe it's like whatever. I can't even think of like there's an unimaginable amount of different expressions that all of you collectively together, individually, you'll have loads of stuff, or maybe you'll have one or two things where you're just like, yeah, man, I've just disconnected from that part of myself. Dedicate 60 minutes per day to rediscovering, to being you. Think about journaling, creative work, just, you know, 60 minutes per day where you get the guitar back up, where you start writing poetry again, you start writing fiction, your book that you've always said you wanted to write, that fantasy novel, that fucking adventure novel, that thriller, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if it's going to sell a million, if you're going to be the new Stephen King, it doesn't fucking matter. What matters again is don't have the regret of not doing it. Do it. Try meditation, writing, music, whatever it is. 60 minutes to being you. And remember the beautiful divine timing maths of this. 60 minutes per day over 365 days. That would be 9.5 work weeks of time that you would have dedicated to rediscovering, remembering, reconnecting with who the fuck you truly are. That brings enthusiasm. That brings a spark back in your eye. And hey, if it's only 20 minutes, well, do the maths again. It's like 20 minutes per day over 365 days. It's half whatever the other statistic is. It's like 3 work weeks. It's still a fucking substantial amount of time rather than 0 minutes, which means same shit, different day. Radical lack of inspiration, and that lack of inspiration is what's costing you severely in marriage, because your queen, when she met you, she fell in love with the guy with the glint in his eye, with the spark in the eye, with the voice, with the sort of the dreams, with the infinite possibility, with the he talked a good talk, and so you fucking did, man, because hey, the shit show of the profoundly sick society and all its bullshit conditioning of like it's not possible for you. You just have to fit in and slot in and, you know, be a fucking sheep in society. That had yet to fully hit and like suffocate your inspiration out. So it's very hard to stay in love, actually, with somebody who's not feeling inspired. So dedicate 60 minutes or whatever chunk of time per day to you, rediscovering who the badass you are and what you want to be bringing out into the world as part of your message, your, you know, your mission in the world. Number two, I've spoken this in, but it's very distinct for men. Number two, the greatest, one of the greatest regrets of people on their deathbed was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now listen up, guys, because you guys, like the vast majority, are self-identified males. The quote from Bronnie Ware: "This came from every male patient that I nursed. They miss their children's youth and their partner's companionship. All of the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. I'm not working in palliative care, but my observation are perfectly in alignment with what Bronnie has observed. Every single guy, so many guys end up, when they start doing deep work in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, again, it's like, yeah, they're there initially. The superficial reason is I'm here to save my marriage. And hey, there's a lot of beauty in that intentionality. But ultimately, it's like they're there to reconnect with who the fuck they truly are. And in that space where it's radically safe, where guys share their hearts, their souls, what's really life for them, so many men in the first, you know, first 2, 3, 4 months after work, they start speaking to, wow, you know, it's like I'm just looking at my work. I'm not inspired. I never really wanted to do this. It's like I'm questioning, why the fuck am I doing this? It's like, and you're talking like many senses, some of these guys have like a lot of financial success. They're very good at what they do, but they're like, I'm just questioning. It's like I'm actually deeply stressed at work. I'm not inspired. I haven't been inspired at it in a long time. And they start making this profound link of, if I'm not inspired with it, and if I'm stressed with it, and if I'm caught in my head with it a lot, but I'm dedicating so much of my time and energy to it, this, I'm paying a major price in my marriage. I'm paying a major price in my parenting. I just want a presence in the background, guy. I got a bit of sniffles at the moment, so my voice is a little bit funny, and if there's a little bit of sniffles in the background, I'm just going to put my hand up and own it. That's it. Not going to edit it out. Just part of my human experience here. Entering the new year. This is hopefully just one of my simple, this is my winter one little head cold done and gone in a couple of days. But yeah, just presencing that I'm aware of that. So that regret, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Maybe you are inspired in what you work at, but you know, what's your relationship with your work? Do you end up like overstraining yourself, over-dedicating yourself to your work where, you know, the best hours of your energy and attention in your days, which are the predominant amounts of days throughout your year, your best energy and attention is gifted to work, to your clients, to your projects, and not to your family. You know, I've spoken about that before many times. It's like, you know, we end up unwittingly giving our worst energy, you know, our evening energy, to our queens. We get so stuck in our heads and we're like, we're burnt out during the day doing incredible stuff. And yes, it's sacred. We bring money. It pays the house, roof over the heads, food on the table, you know, vacations, kids' education, etc., etc. It is sacred. However, if the price to pay is, you know, you're not actually fully there for your kids as they're growing up, you don't get to fucking relive that. I know firsthand experience, like when I came to Deep Men's work, I like on many senses, I caught it early. I wish I caught it earlier. But it's like our eldest daughter at that time was like, what was she, 10, 10 and a half? And I remember bursting into tears. Just like I was waking up. I was like, wow, I've never been fully present with any of her childhood yet. I'm talking about, like, you know, the key moments. You know, all first steps, birthday parties, whatever the fuck, riding a bike, all of these, like, learning to read, I don't know what the fuck, like, all of these cool moments and taking her on holidays and having new experiences, and we'd done lots of cool shit. I was never present, guys. It was always caught in my head. There was always a part of my mind sort of irritated in the present moment, unable to fully be there. So I had some conceptualized idea of what being happy was. And, you know, those moments it would be like, oh, take the phone out. You know, like, let's capture this. Because my heart was unable to capture the significance of it. I couldn't feel the love. I couldn't feel enthusiasm. I couldn't feel, I had lost access to joy, to the playfulness. to the sacred emotional capacity to empathize, to fucking be there emotionally. And I know that that's the issue for most men in heroic husbands men's circles. And like, hey, that's just part of being a man. It's no, you know, I would say it's nothing on you. This is a profoundly sick society that has bastardized us out of our capacity to feel emotions. Yet it's this almost all-pervasive awareness amongst modern men in marriage that a large chunk of their meaning that they get from their existence is by overstretching and obsessing about their work endeavors. Because growing up in such a profoundly sick society that has caused men en masse to negate, to disconnect with our emotions, we end up camping out in a rational mind. And that rational mind, you know, it's adept to learn the rules of work, you know, learns the rules of how to make profit, how to be productive, how to serve people, the mission at work. And you can get quite a kick from that, because if you can nail that, you get a lot of, you get validated, you get your attachment needs, you have an emotional, psychological sort of feeling of belonging at work. But when you don't have the emotional toolkit, the toolkit to be radically present, to express your truth in a safe way, how to make sure your queen feels seen, heard, and safe at home, and your kids by extension, we end up unwittingly seeking to meet all our most important emotional needs at work. So we spend more and more time at work, and we actually resent, and if we're really honest with ourselves, there's a part of, yeah, there's the honorable part. It's like, yeah, I've got to show up at home. But there's a part of us going, we feel way more freedom when we go to work, because it feels more on our terms. We feel like we can progress easier. You know, we can win at work, and we just don't know how the fuck to win at home. So there's a part of us, unexpressed, we, you know, individually and collectively can feel guilty to even admit that. But if you're in a men's circle, you know, with me, with other guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles, and you can own up to this, you can go, yeah, man, it's just gone so shitty at home that there is a part of me just prefers the full freedom. I go to work, I can be happier at work. People don't give me shit at work. I know how to win there. I don't know how to win at home. But the point of this reflection now, entering 2024, entering the new year, is this is one of the major dying regrets. And it's every man on his deathbed is thinking this. Major regret. So coming into landing on this regret, the regret, I wish I hadn't worked so hard, I'm challenging you to ask yourself here. Ask yourself this. Is this job serving my highest purpose as a man in this uniquely precious life of mine that is speeding past me? Your life is speeding past you, man. I blinked. My firstborn was 10. I blinked. She's now 14. It's like we blink and a decade goes past. Do you not feel that? It's like you were just leaving college, you blinked and you're fucking 15 years into your, you know, first career. Like, it's crazy shit. I'm like, it's 2024. I still have memories of like when the fucking year 2000 was such a big thing, and it's like late teenage years. It's like, wow, you know, the year 2000. Like 2020 fucking four. 24. I think now I'm like, I turned 40 in 2023. I'm like, man, I left college 18 fucking years ago. The fuck happened there? What happened? I'm like, wow. Like, tons of shit happened. But it's like, it works like that. So, you know, ask yourself, I challenge you. Is this job serving my highest purpose as a man in this uniquely precious life of mine that is speeding past you? Accept that your life is speeding past you. Don't be the guy that, you know, at reunions, at barbecues, says the thing. It's like, oh man, you know, like you look at your friends' kids, and it's like, oh Jesus, like the last time I saw you, like you were just like 2 foot tall, now you're fucking like 7 foot two, and you're on, whatever. Like, it's like, well, how the fuck? It's like, don't do the jokey joke, mediocre thing of reflecting upon how your life speeds past you and not act on that. It's mediocrity to, like, joke about, oh, the grey hairs in my beard, oh, you know, whatever, the passing of life, and just do it as a joke. Just do it as, like, it's one of those things that we say, oh, I'm becoming like my father, oh, it's ha, 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 oh, it's been so, oh, like, I'm just, like, it's, I have come to become allergic to such fucking bullshit. It was so all pervasive. Family of origin, this sort of, like, jokey joke about mediocrity, it's in society, this jokey joke languishing in mediocrity, like it's some fucking thing that's cool to joke about. It isn't. Because why? You know, this book, The Top 5 Regrets of Dying, can you imagine reaching your deathbed going, my career was just a fucking load of shit. I wasn't happy. I think of Jim Carrey. I listened to some motivational speech of his on YouTube, and it's pretty fucking cool. He was speaking about his dad. His dad was, like, a great comedian, but he chose the safe route. He was, like, the dependable job, and he worked as, I believe, if I remember well, as an accountant, and he was, like, in his early 50s, and fucking the company went bust. He was diligently working, upskilling. He was, like, you know, top man in his job, in his field, and the company went bust. And he was without a job, and I believe the story went, it went homeless. Like, it was a real, real shitty time. And Jim Carrey was always looking at his dad going, whoa, you know, he could have been a great comedian. He could have. So Jim said, fuck that. Like, he's like, I love being funny. And off he went. And that's why we know Jim Carrey. And it's not that you have to become, like, super famous, like the Jim Carrey example, but it's like, when you go with your full heart, your full heart, your full passion, miracles happen. I'm living proof of it, guys. It has not been easy, but my full heart, my full passion, my full authentic expression is doing what I'm doing. I fucking love what I'm doing. I'm here. It's the 3rd of January. It's actually a middle of a week's holiday for me, to be honest. I wasn't prepared with this episode, but it's like, I get up on my Wednesday morning, I have a head cold, whatever the fuck. I'm like, let's get on. It's fucking cool. I love doing this. I love connecting with you powerful men around the world. I love this growing brotherhood around the planet. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Like, it's epic shit. 2027, 10 million guys per week are going to be listening in. Just like, I'm not going to stop. 100,000 guys are going to be in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles around the planet. It's a worldwide movement. It's the most important movement on the planet. Because why? Every single one of you are the most important leaders on this planet at this moment in time. I'm on mission. My heart, my soul, everything. Heart, brain, gut, brain, cranial brain, all linked in together. My thinking, my talking, my taking action, all in integrity, all in alignment with my highest purpose. As I show up as the best husband I can, I'm fucking up every single day in marriage and parenting, in life, but I'm reiterating and learning and getting better. I feel fucking really good. You can do whatever you want, but you've got to go into it wholeheartedly over the long term. So it might seem like it's impossible now, but a bit like the maths of the 60 minutes per day, if your 60 minutes per day was, you know, finding your purpose was, okay, I'm going to dedicate, you know, I've heard other authors speak to that. It's like 60 minutes per day researching, you know, the best research in some field of, you know, some new field, new career that you would start your blog, podcast on, do an online course, become a coach in some specific topic, whatever the fuck that is. 60 minutes, diligent, focused research every day for a year. That would be 9.5 work weeks. You'd be pretty fucking world class by the end of the year, because very few people incessantly research and study and educate themselves like that. So at the end of the year, you would have amassed an immense amount of value, of capacity, of tools, of advice, of guidance for people in a chosen field. I'm just saying, I want to put the carrot and stick out there. Rip that fucking attitude that has been planted in your mind that, like, it's only good for others. Like, who the fuck am I to do whatever? Like, who the fuck am I to be on this podcast, to be doing this, to be leading guys around the planet? Who the fuck am I? I'm a trained physiotherapist. I'm just a random schmuck that just went through an experience, but I decided to dedicate myself to it, and I'm fucking shit hot at it because I go all in. You have the same available to you, man. No excuses here. Rip fucking excuses out. This is, we're talking about living regret-free, not just in this year. I want you guys to line yourselves up from this episode that you're going to plant seeds of a regret-free life. Not just this year. Have your life regret-free. That's the revolution here. Regret number 3. These guys. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Again, the profoundly sick society was ripped out the feeling element, that it's like it's being a pussy as a man. If you've emotions, think about it. Emotions are the fuel, are the joy, are the, it's like the paints on the canvas of life are emotions. And we've been fucking like indoctrinated that it's like being emotional is weak. The fuck is that about? Like being a spiritual being and like negating a part of your human experience is total bullshit. What people were saying in this, Bronnie Ware from the book, many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Under fucking line that. Never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. Guys, this is life and fucking death. I've shared with you before the book by Gabor Mate, When the Body Says No, taken off the shelf behind me. When the Body Says No, The Cost of Hidden Stress. And it's all about, drawing on the deep scientific research and Dr. Gabby Matter's acclaimed clinical work, When the Body Says No provides the answers to critical questions about the mind-body link and the role that stress and our emotional makeup play in an array of common diseases such as arthritis, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, irritable bowel syndrome, and multiple sclerosis. Not expressing your feelings. If you leave that as a regret, the body will say no at some point. When we end up with trapped emotions inside of us, it's like it gnaws away at us. You end up with tummy aches, headaches, whatever, all of the symptoms of these diseases, but they're just light. It's like the body sort of whispers in the beginning with subtle symptoms in the background. Digestive upsets, a little bit more, you know, upset tummy, loss of appetite, blah, 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 stomach cancer. You know, and you will go through that pathway to deep chronic diseases that can fuck up your lived experience, can literally end your life. They start off as subtle shit. And the vast majority of them, it's from not having the courage to express your feelings. This becomes a key regret on the deathbed. Because on the deathbed, like, you've no time left, clearly. And the mind goes, well, I've this roadblock ahead of me. It's called fucking death. I wish I could go back. Many of them can't. Some of them might have the hope that they can reconnect with people at the last minute. It's a deep, deep regret. My one on this is, because I see it so much, like within Heroic Husbands and in my own life, you know, rip your persona's resentment away from your queen. This background boy bitch energy that looks at horror like some source of trapping you, some source of she criticizes, some source of like, she's like the pain. She's the ball and chain. It's like, oh my God. You know, like, rip that shit out. And rip that shit out with your kids as well. And I know you can have nice guy sort of shit that's like, oh, but you know, like, I show up and the best for my queen and I love my kids. And it's like, if you're not feeling radically alive, a lot of guys, and it's like, to get fucking real with this shadow voice inside of ourselves, resents our kids, there's a part of us. Remember, it's a part of you. It's not all of you. Of course, if you think it's like, oh, I resent my kids, it's like all of you resents your kids or all of you resents your wife. Of course, that's not true. Maybe for some of you, you're like, dude, I do actually refer to it like that. I resent her or I don't like. I would say it's a part of you. But to get real within yourself, you know, that bitterness and resentment, well, it develops illnesses that can end your life, but it definitely develops like dis-ease, a lack of ease in your marriage that can end your marriage. Or just worst case scenario, make your marriage just a fucking shit show forevermore that you stay together because of loyalty, because of not having the fucking spiritual balls to end it. But it's just fucking horrible. This precious life that is racing past you and you just create a fucking same shit, different day roundabout experience for you in your inner world, for your queen in her inner world. And the next generation, your kids looking on going, is that what it's all about? And they will do a trauma reenactment of the same or the polar opposite. Like, they'll do the polar opposite. They'll never stick with any relationship because it's like it's too much pain. Or they'll do the exact same thing. They'll just do the fucking same shit, different day bullshit trauma reenactment in their lives. What the fuck is that about? I was completely hurtling towards that. Myself and my queen, we were doing the trauma reenactment of our own families of origin. Same shit, different day. Same shit, different generation, actually. Cut that shit out, guys. I'm just saying, it's like I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. There is a part of you. I would say it's your heart, your soul, your indwelling spirit, your highest self. You know, the inner child inside of you, whatever that is. Express love and appreciation to your queen and to your kids now. Don't wait till you have fucking cancer, she has cancer. Don't wait till she slaps the divorce things on the table. Or don't wait till you just get so exasperated you cheat. Or you put the fucking divorce papers on the table, and don't wait till another 20 years pass and you're just like, you're sitting there both resentful bastards and your kids don't want to visit home because it's just a fucking shit show, it's just unenjoyable. They only show up intermittently because, you know, there's a sense of loyalty. They sort of feel like they have to, but they're not inspired in your presence. Don't fucking do that, man. Don't do it to yourself, don't do it to your queen or your kids or the world. Have the courage to express your feelings now. And if it, you know, there's the persona can go, oh, but I don't feel love. Love isn't a fucking noun. It's a verb to love. You create the feeling of love by loving. Oh, I don't appreciate much about her. Well, if there's only 1% that you can appreciate, I've had moments with my queen and my marriage now, man, we're like neck high in challenges because we're expanding and all the rest, but we're also neck high in fucking love and appreciation. The foundation is under our feet. We had the best Christmas in our marriage thus far. We're, what, 15 years together. Best Christmas ever. It's fucking beautiful. So simple. So grounded. And we had major challenges in the middle of it all, actually, because of expansion, because I wasn't feeling well. But it was the best ever because there was such a grounded confidence in our love, in our marriage. But that part of have the courage to express your feelings at points, guys, my mind found it really fucking hard to bring up one true, authentic feeling of appreciation. It's like, oh, but it's not true because my whole mind just doesn't like her at the moment. My whole mind at moments was like, why the fuck am I in this marriage? Let's get out of it. Like, this woman, it's wrong. We're wrong together. But we had a life together. We had love. We had kids together. There was a lot of good shit there, but I just had to get out of my own fucking way. And that inner voice in my persona, which was like, it's a trauma reenactment from the generation before. Just keep resentment. I'll keep a voice of resentment. It's all her fault. I'm not free because of her. Blah, blah, blah. Guaranteed, there's that part in you. And if you look, if you have the courage to look, you'll notice that there's a part of you reenacting what you've witnessed growing up. Or there's a part of you trying to enact the total opposite of that, but it's not working. Heroic humility. If you want love to show up in your marriage, express love. If you want your queen to start appreciating you more, start appreciating her. and love and appreciation for your kids. I challenge you directly. Have the courage to write letters, messages, voice messages. Fucking tell them to their face, your queen and your kids, now. Don't let another moment pass. Don't let that regret happen for you and your relationship in marriage and kids. Don't do it, man. Number four. Regret number four was, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. One of the number one things in the Heroic Husbands men's circles were the guys, it's like they're loving the brotherhood. They absolutely love the brotherhood. In all testimonial, without any exception, they're like, the most valuable part is the community, is the tribe, is the brothers, where they're creating friendships. Rock solid, like fucking granite under their feet. They love this element of it. Now, whether you join there or not, but I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Again, many had become so caught up in their lives. This is quoting Bronnie Ware. Many had become so caught up in their own lives that they had let golden friendships slip by over the years. There were many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserved. You know, it's friendship, Bronnie went on in the book to say, it's like that people were yearning on their deathbeds. It's like to reconnect, and, you know, many people sort of tried their damnedest to track down, you know, old friends that had played such a beautiful role, that had supported them so much and loved them so much and helped sustain them as human beings at crucial moments in their life's journey, and they'd let those friendships go. Busy, busy, busy. Profoundly sick society, again. Profoundly sick society. Get busy, busy, busy. It bombards us with shit. It bombards us with the hidden agendas of other people that are ultimately all pointing towards financial gain. Ultimately, at the end of it all. That's why we still have wars. That's why we still have so much omnipresent disease. That's why we have disconnection. The more disconnected we are in humanity, the more money can be made, because we're repeatedly trying to fill an unfillable hole inside of our psyche. Deeply connected people, you can't make so much money off them. You can't control them. They won't. Deeply connected people within themselves and with a feeling of a tribe behind them, you can't tell them what to do. A deeply connected person will not be told what to do. It's crowd control. You mightn't support my objective on this. I just have read enough and observed enough. I just really see this. And with people on the podcast, how, you know, 28 pillars of society, from indigenous tribes to modern society, how, you know, every single pillar of our precept of indigenous tribes was connection based. Connection with self, connection with others, connection with nature, connection with spirit, connection, connection, connection. And 28 precepts of modern society is disconnection oriented, explicitly. That didn't happen by coincidence. So I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. My one invitation here is, what's one friend you would love to reconnect with today when you're still in full health? What's one person from your past that you're like, man, I'd just love to reconnect with that dude, with that, you know, like that person that served me so well, that was like brought so much value, so much joy, happiness, it was so meaningful for me, and that friendship. Reach out to them, write them a letter, send them an email, track them down, do the work now. That will be such a love-enhancing, embodied experience for you, that it will open up your heart. And when you do that and you reconnect with that part of yourself, with these loving relationships, man, it brings your heart alive. Your voice, everything that you will be communicating, again, it spreads into your family life, into your marriage. A man awakened is a man that is brings love to his marriage. Number five, last but not least, like this was so common. Bronnie was saying it's like surprisingly common. Number five, the regret was, I wish that I had let myself be happier. I wish that I had let myself be happier. I'm like, oh my fucking God, that this is a sign for me of, all of these signs actually are signs for me of just how profoundly sick this society has become. Now, it's not a negative story. When I say profoundly sick society, I'm like, just to observe it and go, okay, society, step outside of it. Iconoclast, in a book I'd read, the iconoclast, the person, an iconoclast steps outside of society and objectively observes and sees it for what it is and especially what it is not. This society is like, it is not a society where, you know, where happiness and health is a part of what is encouraged. It's the polar opposite. Number five, the deepest regret. I wish I had let myself be happier. She's quoted as saying, writing, fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within they longed to laugh properly and have stillness in their life again. Oh my God. To laugh more and to have stillness. That spiritual, beautiful feeling of being able to sit with yourself. When was the last time, be fucking honest with yourself, man, where you sat with yourself with no task to do? There was no A to B. Oh, I'm sitting here because I have this project. I'm sitting here to have this conversation. When was the last time you sat with yourself and just, you just were? You were being with yourself, with life. You were being with the moment. With a feeling of stillness, of inner quiet, and where you were just enjoying that solitude. I'm introducing that gap and stillness there and just actually feeling that within myself. I know when my marriage was an absolute shit show years ago, my mind, when I stopped talking, my mind never shut up. If I wasn't doing something, saying something, my mind would just fill in the gap with incessant thinking. I had to be thinking, 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 thinking. And from there, I just was like, to distract myself from the lack of stillness inside of myself, I do. But in the doing, talking, I wasn't happy. I had no access with my inner stillness, with my inner knowing of what felt right for me or not. There was such incessant chatter in my head, trying incessantly to avoid a sense of shame, the all-pervasive fear, the anxiety that was in the background, that was gnawing away at me, and thus gnawing away at my capacity to be a good parent, a conscious parent, present in marriage, good lover, loving, to be able to have empathy accessible to my nervous system. I couldn't, because it was thinking, and that's pretty all pervasive. 80-85% of men associate predominantly with the magician archetype, being the most dominant part of their psyche. The magician archetype is the rational mind, thinking. I think, therefore I am. When was the last time you sat still in nature? You went for a walk with no phone, by yourself, not walking the dog, not bringing the kids, you know, not ticking a box for the household chores. You connecting with you in nature. You know, in nature, it really helps. When was the last time? How often? You know, if it did happen, how often does that happen? Where you truly can be with yourself. You know, how often do you feel and recognize a sense of deep inner peace? A sense of you can just be with yourself and be in love with the moment without even having to conceptually say, oh, I love the moment. You know, without, I'm not talking about, oh, I wrote 30 things this morning, gratitude for life. It's like, no, you're just sitting and it's like the background hum of your nervous system is gratitude. No need to be mentally stirring up and commenting to create an experience with life. Like I said earlier on, you know, my tears of grief with my kids and with my wife was more especially with my kids, because like there's this sense of, well, they're growing up and at some point it will move on. My wife, there's sort of like there's a lot more of a lifetime together. That's the game plan anyway. And it was like there's lost years. But it was like that part of me that was commenting mentally, there was always a mental commentary going in the background. I never had inner peace. Never. I didn't know what that is. I can now tell you, it's like one of the fucking most juicy parts of my human experience is when I can just sit and just be. Sometimes it's meditating. Sometimes it's just like I read a book and I just close it. And I'll sit in the sublime, beautiful perfection that is just to sit and like feel every single cell just like sink into, you know, the chair I'm sitting in, or just be out in nature. Just be. Just watch the moon at night. I actually love that. Go out, let the dogs pee at night. Have like 5-10 minutes to myself, to be with myself. Love those moments. They really rejuvenate, and I connect with myself, and I can come in, and very little resentment can survive with that type of a feeling. So my invitation is, I wish I had let myself be happier. I would say it's like there's many different ways you can go with this, but one of the most all-pervasive lacks in husbands and men with full scheduled lives of sacred tasks, sacred roles, etc., etc., but one of the most unmet needs is stillness, time blocks where you don't have anything to put yourself at. It's not like a time block of, oh, I'll do parenting, or a time block, oh, well, I've this is self-time, I'm meditating. No, I'm talking about a time block where you just fucking do jack shit. You do you. You might do something in that time block, but you don't have anything scheduled. You don't have a task. You don't have an A to B to take care of. It's just a time block for you to do you. Time in nature and stillness, sitting in nature, just being, really rejuvenating. There was a lot of that in the heritage of our masculine lineage in the past, where in the fields, hunter gathering, agriculture, time in nature, you know, just sitting in nature, soaking in, you know, the sun, the rain, the wind, the temperatures, the wet, cold, whatever it was. You're looking at insects, birds, animals, the wild, and all the neurochemical mix that comes from our biological inheritance comes from being in the wild. It's just, it brings us back home. My challenge is to get yourself into nature. Get blocks of time. Man, if you can do it on a daily basis, beautiful. Definitely on a weekly basis, get like half an hour. If you can do more, beautiful. Get some time block where you just go out and do you. You know, without kids, without dogs, without phone, for sure. Without the phone. Don't have a fucking phone, man. Just preferably don't have things blasting in your ears. It's like, oh, I went out for a walk. Yeah, but you never felt anything. Even mine, okay? Be the husband she brags about. Oh, but Mark, I was listening to you. It's like, I know of a fucking beautiful sounding voice and this epic shit that I'm putting, but even this, be with you, man. Be with you. Start practicing. Start reconnecting with being soft and being, you know, feeling into life, feeling into your body and feeling into the world, and feel the rain in your face and feel the heat. Stand in the sun. Like, soak it in like you would as a child. You know, you just like as children, we'd lie in the sun. Children, like, have you seen that with your kids? They'll dance in the rain, and like, adults, I've been guilty of it. It's like, oh, you know, put a jacket on. Oh, come in, you'll get wet. Oh, you'll get a head cold. It's like, they just fucking splash around in water. They don't care about there's rain. They'll just lie in the sun. I see my girls outside. They're just like, the sun is out. They'll lie outside. They'll lie in there's big round bales of hay. They'll lie there. They'll lie there for like an hour, just soaking it up. Totally. They're not doing a practice. They're just being. Their whole body and mind and nervous system, their heart just knows the embodied perfection of that experience. They're still connected with it. I have been conditioning myself to let them get wet, to let them get messy, to let them get mucky, to let them just feel into this human experience. Because I have seen and experienced the negative effects of becoming disconnected with that myself. So be inspired by your kids. Be inspired by your own memories of when you used to. If you go back far enough, you'll reconnect with parts of you that would just like lie and look in the grass and see the insects and connect with nature and be so at peace with yourself. My invitation is connect with that. Coming into landing here, setting ourselves off for the new year, it's a potent psychological, you know, reflection point. But this is essential for all times of your life. You know, like that old thing that they say, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. Second best time is today. The best time to wake the fuck up is 20 years ago. The second best time is today, man. The busyness and the projected hidden agendas that you are bombarded with to the point at which you actually believe that you're doing the most important things and you're prioritizing things through the busyness of your life. But the beautiful message that comes back from these humans, that their stories, they didn't have any time left to come back and course correct. But let their lives, let their message, let their courage in expressing to Bronnie Ware, to then have had the courage to create this beautiful book, let their lives and experience of their deepest regrets on their deathbed, let them regrets and their lives not be in vain. This is a beautiful time, space, reality we're living in. Earth, I radically disconnect myself from conditioning and the bombardment of a very small proportion of people that have a control over mass media that is bombarding us with bullshit about we're fucking doomed. And they're telling us, funnily enough, you know, technology will save us, which is all that they have their money invested in. I'm like, the heart and fucking soul of you, man, and me, and us all coming together, and get 10 million men, powerful heroic husbands coming together, and by the end of 2027, heroic husbands, men circles coming together. The human heart, the human soul, is one of the most fucking beautiful, unstoppable forces in this universe. The God within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's like the mystics have said it. There's no Buddha's nature better than any Buddha's nature. It's like, than your Buddha's nature. It's just, hey, there's beliefs. There's obscurations that have hidden us from this beautiful, wondrous, infinite love that is inside of us. That, connected with individually and collectively, is enough to transform what's happening on this planet in the most spectacular unfoldment of spiritual beauty, of amazingness, the hope that is present. It's all around us. It's only a bullshit story that we're being conditioned in that hides us from hope, indoctrinates us that there's everything to fear. No, I'm like, there's zero fear. Fuck fear. Fear can go fuck itself, and the conditioning that points that there's everything to fear, it can go fuck itself. I'm putting a shield up. My Spartan shield is up that will not enter my nervous system. There is massive hope for you. Your queen, your kids, they desire, their hearts yearn, man, for you to embody radical hope moving forward in 2024 and beyond. Humanity needs hope. Your family need you to be an embodiment of love and an embodiment of hope. And allowing these regrets to live in the background of your nervous system is the polar opposite of embodied love and embodied hope. It's a cancer that eats away. So my encouragement is, listen to it once. If that's enough, brilliant. Listen to it again and again and set out a game plan that is going to rejuvenate your lived experience. Don't let, and let's quickly go through them, don't let the regret of, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of you. Your mom, your dad, your society, whatever, you created your life the way you have from persona, that's cool. Wake the fuck up and slowly but surely, a journey of 1,000 miles begins one step. Dedicate time every day over a year. It's insane what you can do over a year. Number two, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Get reflective. Reflect on your work, on your job, What's the price that your heart is paying, that your emotional life is paying, your queen, your marriage, your parenting? What's that? What's the major price? Don't fucking pay a price that is going to create suffering for you and seven generations after you. And have the courage to reflect upon it and then set, it could be, man, it could be a 12-month plan, it could be a 2-3-year plan, but start taking action to create something wonderful beyond. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Express love and appreciation for your wife, for the woman she is, and your kids for the beautiful, amazing human beings that they are. Whatever, there's challenges there. Yeah, there's kickback from them. Cool. Fucking rise beyond it, man. Rise beyond the resentful little boy bitch energy in you. Be the king in your household. Lead with love and appreciation. And funnily enough, they will follow. Number four, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. I'll say reach out to one friend that you would love to reconnect with today, that you, when you're still in full health. Or second one there is reach out to Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. If you want a brotherhood of phenomenally, ferociously loving and accepting brothers that will challenge you to live and actually guarantee that you will not continue living with any regret in your life, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, like probably the highest leverage place, actually is the highest leverage place that you could place yourself on this planet. I'll back that shit up if you, when you come in. Number five, I wish I had let myself be happier. Find time, stillness, solitude, in nature, breathe, relax, be within yourself. Just start fucking falling in love again with being a human being. Remember, the number one thing, the golden thread in all of these things, these beautiful human beings that died with so much, you know, regret. They regretted what they had not done more than ever. They never really regretted what they did do. That was very, very low in their list of regrets. They regretted what they had not done. Let that be the most inspiring, life-transforming, provocative fucking fire under your spiritual ass message that you needed coming into 2024. With profound love, with profound acknowledgement of your spiritual badassery, of the amazing man you are, the amazing men you are, all together listening in, and this collective movement, more and more listening in 2023. Let 2024 be like a massive expansion of the amount of men connecting in and doing whatever is necessary to become the marriage transforming hero of the relationship, the hero in their marriage, in their parenting, and for the seven generations coming afterwards. Because the mantra of our movement is better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, kingly day and 2024 and beyond.